Oh no, brilliant. I appreciate you calling.
No worries. I'm ready.
Good. So, firstly, if we could start off with your thoughts on Namibia's World Cup campaign.
I was disappointed that we didn't get the win. I think that was what we wanted from the beginning, and that was what we aimed for. That was what we worked for the whole time, and that was to get that first win. But looking back at it, and looking at the performance of some of the guys put in, I was extremely proud. I couldn't be involved. Obviously, he got concussed in the second last one very early on, and I think we could have definitely won a match if we had a couple of things together and we sorted a few things out. And I remember sound that's finished, and but I'm extremely proud of some of the performers. Like I said earlier on, I'm not ashamed at all to have been part of that team.
Like you say, with the concussion early in the Georgia game, it must have been pretty tough for you to sit out with the game being so close at the end. Was that a just decision? Was that the right call that you came off?
It was the right call. It was. I went off the pitch and I couldn't carry on. I tried to pull myself together. I thought I was maybe just stunned, and looking back at it, I saw I was completely out, and it was the right call. It was gutting. I actually just spoke before that match about enjoying every moment, and you never know when it's your last game, and I kind of had the back of my head thought, Argentina will be my last match. 9 minutes in, I'm gone. So,
yeah.
But the only bad thing was I couldn't finish the game. I couldn't, watching it from the side, I couldn't help in battle and getting so close to that win. I would like to think that I would have made a difference, being on the pitch and help the boys wherever I could,
So, yeah, I'm sure.
Standing next to the pitch and seeing the disappointment on their faces afterwards was incredibly sad. It was hard for me because I felt I let them down in a bit, even though there was nothing I could do about it. It just felt like I should have been out there with them. And it ended like that. That's how rugby goes. You make plans too far ahead, then it comes short. That's how it works.
I mean, I was lucky enough to watch you down in Exeter play.
Okay.
I was surprised by we talk about tier one and tier two, but I think the gap was really quite closer than a lot of pundits and people in the media had expected. Did you find that?
Yeah, definitely. I spoke to a lot of people about. I think the trend was set with Japan. Really, I think them beating the Springboks, people were going, "Wow, it's nothing against Japan. They're an incredible side. They're very well coached and stuff." But nobody was expecting them to win that match. It's just the reality of things. And then when they did that, I think a lot of people started believing. Listen, we can be competitive. With Japan, they showed a lot of heart. Yes, they were well coached, but they were far behind in a lot of aspects going into that match. They just put in an incredible performance. And they backed it up throughout the tournament. But it was just special to see them. I think that kind of motivated a lot of us. And I think the gap has closed considerably. We sort our set phases out, our set pieces. I think if we were better in our scrums and our lineouts. And maybe other things as well, we would have been a lot more competitive. It would have been 50-50, I think, between the Georgia and the Tonga game. We could have been very competitive. We could have won either one of those or both of those matches. So it's great to see the Tier 2 nations growing. It's going to make the World Cups and international matches even better and better and better. So it's exciting for rugby and the future for rugby. The game is growing with the little that the Tier 2 nations have. If you look at the Namibia's facility and the amount of amateur players we have, we can't pay them, these guys work 8 to 5, and the performances they still put in, it's unbelievable. I've got massive respect for all of them.
Yeah, I completely agree. On that point, what was the training like with the people that were less professional, in terms of the game as yourself, them having to break away from their full time jobs? Did that make it a little bit more difficult in preparations?
Yeah, it does make it difficult. I think the main problem for us was in the build up period was that we had guys, half the squad worked 8 to 5, so they have to come in and do their weight training, in the morning at 6 o'clock, you know, get dressed, go to work.
Yeah.
And then we'll see, we have to wait, then we'll train, the rest of the squad will train a bit later at like, let's say 8, and then again like a early afternoon session. And then we'll all join together again in the evening, you know, and we'll get home by half past 9, 10 o'clock in the evening sometimes. So it made it incredibly hard in that to kind of get that unity throughout the World Cup. And these guys had to work, you know, you can't take them out of their jobs, you know, they'll lose their jobs. And that was guaranteed of something after. And some of the guys don't want to play rugby after. They've got good jobs, you know. So that made it really hard. But you know what made it easy is their attitudes and the way they went on. I've got so much respect for every single guy in that team. You know, the guys never came up with excuses. They never rocked up and didn't look in the mood for it. You could see they want to learn. You could see they want to get better. You could see everybody wants to be successful. And I've got so much respect for everyone, you know, to get up. I think to ask anybody to try and get up. I've done it myself in the early times of my career. Get up at 5 in the morning and you come home at 10 in the evening, you know, and then after hard sessions, it's no joke. You know, after 4 days work as well, it's definitely nothing. There's not a lot of people who will continue doing that for a year, I would say. You know, it's, for all of them who did that, I'll take my hat off and I've got so much respect. And the way the attitudes were and how hard they worked, I really, really have respect for that.
Extra credit for those guys because it's pretty rare in a World Cup.
Yeah.
So if we go back to the concussion incident, obviously it knocked your tournament a few days short. But retiring on the back of that, was that a conscious decision before the tournament, or was that something that evolved during the tournament as it went along?
No, it was something I decided beforehand. I spoke to our coach Donnie Vermeer, and he was our previous coach, and I said to him, listen, I'm coming to that stage, it's hard for me to be involved in rugby that long. My body is just physically it's getting a bit much for me. I've gone through a lot of serious injuries and getting me ready for weekends was a problem, you know, beforehand, you know, obviously Donnie Vermeer and left unfortunately, and I spoke to Phil. Our new coach and our new SEC guys, and they were managed, they said they were managed pretty well. So, but I said, always said from the beginning, this will be my last World Cup, and after this, I will retire out of international rugby. And unfortunately, it got cut one game short, but we didn't get that win. But it was still so special, you know. And every time I represented my country, I was extremely proud.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Namibia, you know, I'm from Namibia. Through and through. So every time I got the opportunity and I could have, and it was good with my schedule, you know, or my professional schedule, it was a massive honor to play for my country. So I'll miss it greatly, but it was fun while it lasted.
From an outsider looking in, you know, you seem to be in great form. So it was a sort of shame
it's a shame you got
knocked out early, but.
I said to the guys, listen, you never know when you're in. You know, I said to them, even my game could be done. Well, I've done in 2 games. And, well, I could be done this game. And you never think that it actually will be this game.
Yeah.
You never. And 9 minutes in the match, I was lost. You know, and I just stand there the next 50 minutes or the next 70 minutes and watch the game. You know, and it was incredibly tough to watch the guys out there. And I felt in a way that I dropped, that I let them down. You know, even though there was nothing I could do, I wasn't out there to kind of fight with them. So, but it was sad, you know. But I was, like I said earlier, I was extremely proud about what the effort everybody put in. You know, and I couldn't fault any of their efforts.
Oh God, no, yeah. But will you be looking to continue in a coaching capacity or anything like that, or is that something that you look at maybe you know, in the future after Saracens or your club rugby?
I'm thinking of, I've never thought about doing it, you know, it wasn't something that I planned on. Now coming towards the end of my career, you know, I'm still so passionate about the game. I love the game. I don't want to completely step away from the game. I want to do my coaching this year and be a qualified coach, you know, and when the year's done, I want to maybe see if I can get into to the defensive part of things, maybe be a defensive coach for somebody or something like that. You know, I'd love to get involved in that sense, you know, whether it will be in Europe or in America or wherever the case will be, on Canada or wherever, I don't care. I've never really thought about it, or it might even be back home in Namibia, you know. So it's not something I really, really set my mind to, but it's something that I'm keeping my options open. I'm thinking, listen, this could be something I do, you know. Otherwise, I'll go back to Namibia and start with my project there, you know. The farming industry is something I got into about 6 years ago, and it was something I knew nothing about. I don't know a lot now, but I still had to learn so much. But it's something that I decided that it's something I want to do. You know, it's something that for life after rugby, it's my new project. It'll be my life. So I'll take it on with everything I have, and I'm just trying to give it 100%, and hopefully I'll make a success out of it.
Well, fingers crossed for you. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. If we move on to this finals, the weekend,
yeah.
New Zealand looked very strong, but Australia, you know, had really good weather, so they played a lot of running rugby. But who would your money be on if you're a betting man?
It'll be a hell of a match. You know, I think the All Blacks will be the favourites going into this. You know, I think. The match they played against South Africa, I wouldn't say it was one of the most physical matches, not as much as the Argentina-Australia match. I think that would have taken a lot out of them. Hopefully they don't have any serious injuries and they can field the full squad, because the Australians, they do look dangerous, and they kind of look like they score at will. You know, when they really got everything together against Argentina, they look like they made it look pretty easy. So
yeah.
They're a very well-coached team. You know, they've got very good players. They've got... Hooper and Pocock are very good over the ball. You know, makes it very, very tough for opposition teams to kind of get an attacking platform. You know, and obviously Richie McCaw is in the All Blacks team, and he tries to do the same thing. But I think the in-form guys will probably be Pocock definitely over the ball. So the back row challenge will be massive. You know, but if I had to put money on it, I think New Zealand just basically out of the fact that they've been in this situation not too long ago. You know, they won the World Cup 4 years ago, and they've kind of peaked the right time. I think their performance against France was unbelievable. You know, how easy they made that look, and how easily they beat a good French side was pretty impressive. You know, and they obviously had a tough game against the Springboks, but that'll do them well. That'll do them well, preparing them well for the final. So I expect a really, really good final. It's going to be really, really good to watch, but I think the All Blacks will take it.
Mm, I tend to agree, yeah. If you wouldn't mind, if we could move on to the Premiership. And so what's the sort of transition been like linking back with the club after, you know, after your World Cup campaign? I'm guessing they've given you the rest for the concussion, but what's it like being back in camp with Saracens?
No, it's been great. It's been great. You know, it's been my family for 6 years now. Like I said, I always feel like when I got back here, I felt like strangely I felt at home. You know, it's been I've spent so much time here, and I've my rugby career here. Yeah, it's been great. I loved every moment playing for them. So to be back with the boys where I've been for a long time just kind of made it felt special again. And knowing this could possibly be my last season, I really relish every moment I get to be out there to train with the boys, and I'm just hoping I'll keep that'll stay special. And every time this year I get out in the training field, make sure that I give it 100%, because there's not many left. There's not many left. And I'm massively excited for the tournament as well. You know, it feels, even though it's a World Cup, you know, sometimes these tournaments and some, these competitions lose a bit of their speciality because there's internationals going on. But I really, really feel that as soon as the World Cup's passed, everybody will focus back on the Premiership. And the boys are playing well. You know, it'd be tough to get a lot of game time as well because of the background doing so well. And we've signed a couple of new guys. So I'm massively excited for the challenge. You know, hopefully we can back it up this year and be competitive and hopefully get into the playoffs and the same with Europe as well. So it's something that we came very close to the last couple of years, and hopefully we can do well in both competitions.
Yeah, yep. Two early wins. I know you weren't involved, yeah. But is there Is there a time scale on how long you've got after the World Cup to sort of rest and recover, or are you back in the mix?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but I might be involved this weekend. So yeah, I've been training with the team and stuff, and there's a good possibility that I can play this weekend. You know,
oh, good
and,
stuff.
Like I said, I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. Knowing, obviously, there's not a lot left. It's starting to really sink in. So I just want to get out there and enjoy it. You know, and trying to put in a great effort and give it my absolute best. You know, and then the team playing so well at the moment. Slotting in has been great. You know, they a couple of things obviously change as they do in the preseason. New ideas, a couple of new moves and stuff. This week I had to adjust, and last week I had to adjust a little bit and get into all the new stuff. But it's been exciting, you know, and to see not much has changed in regards to how the team has run and the personnel and how everybody's still extremely happy to be there and stuff. And even though the new guys have come in, they just kind of set in and fall in with everything. So everything feels pretty familiar, which is great. You know, you go away for 3 months, you think. You always think something's going to change, but it doesn't. I need to get out there and play with my friends.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it? I think that's it, really.
Really appreciate right, your cool. time. You've been great. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks, Max. Thank you. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, you too. All the best.
All right, enjoy the evening.